Oh yes, we are glad for it that God has ordained us to not carry a doctrine, not an interpretation, but to carry His revealed word, His promised word, not own opinions, but His original word as it was left unto us in the Holy Scripture. You all know what we believe at this place. We believe that God does all things according to His word. And we believe that all prophets were sent either to tell the people the word or later on bring the people back to the word. This was the task. Then, in the past few days, I laugh now a bit, I found a telephone number within this country. And on the other end, it said, here is the answering machine. And then the voice said, this is the voice of God in Germany. Something like that. And I was, of course, surprised. I was astonished. The voice of God in Germany. But if one thinks about it a little bit, then we have to ask ourselves, who is it who speaks with us? Who is it whose word we hear? It's the Lord. And actually, the word which we bring should be God's word. Not only our thoughts about the word of God, but it should be God's word itself. And this was actually not so much beside the point what this answering machine said. If it would be only right, then we would all rejoice. Right? Oh yes. Just imagine we would come together and would hear the voice of the Lord. From the word, hearing His voice, letting it speak to us, and then also to respond to it. Whatever that may be, God will, amidst of all of it, He will finish His work unto the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will take care that from all peoples, tongues and nations, His own are being called out, and this with all might. I know some of us had ready to depart, others could not even come, but we are really grateful to the Lord for every meeting. This time, I actually didn't want to be here. I thought by myself, the distance is just too far. This will not be so easy. But also here we are grateful for the planes which within a few hours bring you over the big pond. Everything is in our time as it was never before. In times past, these opportunities were not here. Just 40 years ago, when everything was somehow in the start, and today, we may thank God also for all the technical means which exist. And there, the pilot can say, we will fly 7 hours and 46 minutes. And you can rely on it that it will be exactly 7 hours and 46 minutes. So precise, they can foretell everything. Why do I say this now? My thoughts go there that we one day want to reach this world via a satellite to then bring the last message to the people, and may then really be the voice of God, that one could say of us, as it is written in the last verse, in 1 Kings, I believe, 1 Kings 17, the last verse always touches our heart. when we read it. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." More we don't want. The word of the Lord shall be in our mouth pure divine truth. Nothing added, nothing interpreted, but pure divine truth. We will summarize what we looked at already yesterday and today. God has made us kings and priests. He made people out of us who are ready to walk in His ways. For thus it is written, God will make such people out of you who walk in His ways. How many have the sincere desire to serve the Lord fully, to walk fully on His ways, whatever may come? And this will be necessary to reach the destiny. One scripture comes to my mind now, which I want to put here, that we looked upon here on a Wednesday evening from 1 Corinthians 2 and then from Isaiah 64. And then we come to the word that Brother Geiler read. I think he said Colossians 4 and then he read from Philippians 4. But we will see it just now. After all, we know our way around in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So here in 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." We followed up this word a bit, and then I must admit that I was reading here in the Luther translation. The translators not always have understood the meaning. Also, they had a hard time with some scriptures, in particular because it can be read here, "But as it is written," and every time when we read in the New Testament "as it is written" or "as the scripture says," then we must somewhere find a scripture where it is written to what was referred to. I read again, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man." I read now the same word from Isaiah 64. Here it says in verse 3, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He has prepared for him that waiteth for him." Did you all read with me? No ear has heard, no eye has seen a God beside thee. Did you notice what it is about here? What no eye has seen and no ear has heard, what God prepared for them who love Him. It is really the self-revelation of God. There is nothing greater and more precious than the revelation of God, the revelation of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. No ear has ever heard, no eye has ever seen, that there is a God beside thee. This became also great to us. He is God and no one else. He reveals himself to whom and how he wants. In verse 5 it says, thou meetest him that rejoices and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Amen. Who remember thee in thy ways, not on their ways, remembering themselves, but remember thee in thy ways. And to them we may also belong. We understood what the word means. My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, when we remember our God and walk on his ways, then he will reveal himself to us. But now I have to read to this from Colossians 2, from verse 1. Colossians 2, from verse 1 to 3. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. And this mystery is Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him is everything what we know, what we need. And Brother Geiler read it, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not rejoice in the world always. There are some kind of afflictions. But before the Lord, in the presence of God, there comes joy, no matter where it is. For it is him who speaks with us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Also, this word seems to fit into our time, who we are now living close before the return of the Lord. And then it says, be careful for nothing. This would be nice, to have a carefree life. Who wishes to have such a life? Carefree. Some care also about the cares and are worried about things about which they would not have to worry at all. But this is just our nature. Be careful for nothing. Also not about how things will go on. Also not about how God will finish his work. Also not about whom God will now use in a mighty way. Be careful for nothing. Let everything be made known unto him, and cast your burdens upon him. He will bring it to pass. Be careful for nothing. But this doesn't mean become indifferent. Absolutely not. Be fiery in the spirit, ready to serve the Lord. But don't have worries. Have trust. Have faith. Have confidence. For the thing at which we stand is God's thing. I would stop here today if I would have to represent my own thing. This would be today, my last time that I would stand here in the front. If I would not know 100% that we in everything don't mean ourselves but the thing of God, and that we ourselves have become a part of the program of God. Nobody should think that I'm so stupid that I would sacrifice myself for a thing which comes from men, which in the end would be doomed to fail. No, I would be the greatest fool who lives on earth if I would spend all my time, everything what I am and have, would sacrifice everything, and then for something what people wanted. No, the thing at which we stand is God's thing. The church is the church of the living God. It's the church of Jesus Christ that he purchased for himself through his precious and holy blood. And we don't deal with anything else but with a calling out and with the preparation of the church of Jesus Christ. Also about this, I was once again asked why we don't establish local churches. Woe to me if I would do this. With it, I would trespass a direct command which the Lord gave to me personally when he said, I will send you from city to city to preach my word. And then he said, do not establish local churches and don't publish any songbook, for it is the sign of a denomination. Now, we are not dealing with establishing of local churches which again produce their own things, but with a calling out, with a putting together of the whole body of Jesus Christ, with the whole church of the living God, not with homemade opinions, but with a real and true, thus saith the Lord, with the revealed word of God, with the promises for this time. And also about this, we may rejoice. I love to remember the 3rd of December 1962, when Brother Branham spoke of the food and said, it is the word of God promised and revealed for this time, that you should store in to then give it out as the spiritual food. Verily, the time has come in which people don't live anymore by every bread, but from every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Not only from some which they pick out because they fit into their concept, but the whole word, to experience the whole restoration, to experience the restitution in its fullness, it was necessary to get the whole word revealed. Only we have to respond to it fully now. The word was not revealed as a partial truth, as it was in the past, but all the partial truths were wrapped up to the overall truth. All the knowings of the Bible and revelations that were partly there were wrapped up as a whole, as never before. Also for this, we are grateful to our God with all our hearts. But now I have to read three scriptures, and then we will continue with the sermon of Brother Branham, reading briefly some passages. We were speaking about the royal priesthood, about people who do not belong themselves, but to him who purchased them. And we know that our Lord himself is king, priest, and prophet. In Revelation chapter 1, we read from verse 4 to 6. Revelation chapter 1, 4 to 6. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. To this we can all say a prompt Amen without hesitating. To him be glory and dominion. After his resurrection, our Lord said, to me is given all power in heaven and on earth. And he has given to his own this divine authority and said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Satan has no power over us. We have power over Satan because Satan was defeated on the cross of Calvary. If we would have to compete with him, then every one of us, from the first to the last, would lose. There would not be one who could stand his ground before him. But it happened with our Lord, as then with David and Goliath. The two sides agreed, the one who is defeated, this side would have to subdue. And the son of David, Jesus Christ, prevailed against Satan, and now he and all of his host must be subject. There's no other way. We must lift ourselves up to this faith. We must know that it is divine reality, and we must stop to speak about the power of Satan, and we must begin to speak of the power of God that shall be manifested in us and through us. If we speak of the power of Satan, then the old devil rejoices over and again. But if we speak of the power of God that was manifested by God's victory, then he feels otherwise. He knows exactly that to him the old serpent, the head, was crushed. He knows exactly that our Lord came into this flesh to atone for the guilt and to forgive sin and to redeem us and to bail us out. And this took place. There is a whole book written by Emil Meyer with a title, Out from Satan's Ban, I read it many, many years ago. It's more than 30 years ago. We have been taken out from Satan's ban and were transferred into the kingdom of God. And we have to be acquainted with divine thoughts. In them, we have to think and speak to give God the glory by it. Here it is written, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. He will commence his reign. I read you to this from Revelation 11, from verse 15. Revelation 11, from verse 15. Here it says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and wast, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and began to reign. Did something stand out to you while reading? Who listened closely? It's always very good if one listens closely. In one scripture it says, who art and wast and art to come. The art to come does not need to be here, for here it is already shown that at that time, when this scripture will be fulfilled, that he has come to begin his reign. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and wast, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and began to reign. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. Do we actually all fear the name of the Lord? Do we have reverence before him and his word? Then the Lord will meet us. For it is written, all who tremble at my word. Now also from Revelation 15 and then 19 or even 20. Revelation 15, verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the nations. He is the King of kings. Now, we read quickly from Revelation 20. Verse 4 is very long. I will read only the last part of it. Revelation 20, last part from verse 4 and then to 6. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We are a people of kings and priests. Here it is emphasized, they will be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I cannot go here into the subject of the Godhead, because it doesn't fit here now for our subject. But you see, although it is written here, there will be priests of God and of Christ. Afterward, it's written again in the singular, and reign with him 1,000 years. Not with them. The human reasoning, when it says earlier, they shall be priests of God and of Christ, he would immediately start. But here, human wisdom is not required. Here, God's wisdom is required, and it was also revealed by his grace. Beloved, we cannot emphasize it enough. What a privilege it is that the word was given to us by revelation. And Paul wrote it also to the Corinthians and to the Colossians, and time and again he emphasized that the believers must receive the word by revelation. He prayed that God may give us enlightened eyes of the heart to understand the mystery rightly as it was revealed to his servants and prophets. From the sermon which we read already today, I would like to read now from page 28. Here Brother Branham gives the well-known examples from Shakespeare and Beethoven and says, if he would dwell in you, or the spirit of him, then you would be able to do what they have done. Then he lines out, but he that is in you, this is Christ. And if Christ is in you, if Christ dwells in you, you will do the works of Christ. Actually, something very logical. When he works through us, then he will do the same what he did then, for he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot change. It continues here. He said so in John 14:12. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. If you are in Christ, and Christ lives in you, then Christ is the Word. Is that right? This we all believe. Christ is the Word, but not the letter, but the Spirit who makes it alive. The letter they all have in their homes, millions, billions of people. But where is Christ? Christ is there where he can manifest himself as the one who lives. He is there where he is welcomed, where he is received. He is there where one believes him. He is there where one trusts him. He is there where one obeys him. He said, I will reveal myself to you. The world sees me no more, but ye shall see me. I read on. If now his life dwells in you, but if you are still living your own life, then your own works you will do. But if Christ lives in you, and you live the life of Christ, then he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. If doubts and flusterations about God's promises is in you, then Christ is not there. You are only worked up. But if the life of Christ is living in you, his word he will recognize, and his promise he will fulfill. He will do it. So, what is in us? If the true, pure, revealed word is in us, then there is no confusion, no flusteration, but clarity and truth is in us. Then we are not separated, but united, because God wanted it so, and also did it. Then we have clarity, as it was said here, about his word and about his promises. Also this we emphasized. It simply depends on that we have found the promises in the word of God. Yes, that God showed them to us, giving us the access to them. And in these promises, our faith is anchored. I read, when thou prayest, believe that you receive what you ask for, and it shall be given to you. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, then you can have what you say. These are just words that strengthen us in the faith. And the nice thing is that they are true, that they are right. Everything, even though we didn't see it until now in a full measure, everything what is written is true. And everything what was promised will be fulfilled. There are of course people, they put away what they did not experience. We don't do it like this. No, we know that God has for everything certain times. We don't want to go before him, but we also don't want to limp behind. We want to keep pace with him and walk forward by faith. It continues here. That same Christ lives in you. He lives in us. Therefore we do his works. Because Christ is the Word. The promise of the Word brings healing to you. Do you believe that? Sure. It's actually with everything like this, what God promised. And as we said before, John the Baptist was a promised prophet. I noted down these two scriptures. I think the one is written in Isaiah 40, verse 3. That says, a voice cries in the wilderness. And then I looked it up in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And hear now the answer of John. I am the voice of him who cries in the wilderness. In the Old Testament, the prophecy, the promise, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord, make straight a path for our God. And here the people come and ask John, who are you? Art thou Christ? Art thou Elijah? No, I'm not. And then we read so nicely, he said, I am the voice. Amen. There it says, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord. And John is asked, who art thou? Are you this, that, or this? And he said, I am the voice. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh yes, this exists. There is a bringing of evidence in the Holy Scripture. Here the promises and here their fulfillment. And thereby we can see the truthfulness of God. John, a promised prophet, he did not need to be afraid and to confess that on him the Scripture was fulfilled. I mentioned it last night already, that many, yes, a couple of thousands of preachers and evangelists appreciate the ministry of Brother Branham very much. But in the moment when they heard that here the Holy Scripture is fulfilled, behold, I send you the prophet. You all know that scripture. Suddenly, one doesn't recognize these people anymore, who earlier were praising and singing in the highest tones. One doesn't recognize them anymore. For in the moment where they would have to admit that here Bible prophecy was again fulfilled, they would let themselves be aligned, being corrected, being brought in line. Then they should actually walk on this prepared way, and this they don't want. There's too much at risk, money, popularity, and everything what goes with it. When I recently read this here, it jubilated in my heart. John is asked, who art thou? Art thou Christ? Are you that prophet? Are you Elijah? He said, no, and again, no. Who art thou then? We must bring an answer to them who sent us. Who art thou? And then I thought by myself, there it is written, behold, a voice cries in the wilderness. And this man of God cries out, I am that voice that cries in the wilderness. That's coming on strong. I am the voice of him crying in the wilderness. He had the word of the hour. He had the message of God to the people of God. It's not about more, but also not about less at this time. It's about that we heard and understood the clear divine message based upon all the promises of the word in all of Bible prophecy, and that we abide in it and not again interpret and then go again into various directions, but remaining in this one divine direction. There are people who are born of the seed of the word, and they just have the connection to the word. It's a strange people, a people of kings and priests, the divine kindred. We shall proclaim the virtues of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Christ in us, not only as a slogan, not only as a thesis, but as divine reality. I wish it myself. I wish it to all of us, to to all the body of the Lord, that Christ could live His life through us, just as He took our place, so shall we in His stead be here now. As Paul writes, in Christ's stead, as ambassadors, in Christ's stead, we admonish you, be ye reconciled with God. John was the voice of Him who cried in the wilderness. Whose voice are we today? The answering machine was not so wrong. The voice of God in Germany, the voice of God on earth, the voice of God in all the world. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. What is His voice? His voice is His word. And by His grace, we returned to His word. We don't look to the left nor to the right, but we walk our way straight ways with the Lord. Here Brother Branham continues and says, greater is He that was in David than the bear that stole his sheep. Greater is He that was in David than the lion that come in and took one of his lambs. Greater is He that was in David than the enemy Goliath. That great Philistine that stood there, some 12, 14 feet tall, with 14-inch fingers on him, with a spear like a weaver's needle and covered all over with 2 or 3 inches thick of steel or metal brass. If someone had put on us such an armor, then we would have been buried underneath, let alone go into battle with it. But God was with David. We don't have to speak around it. God was with David. God was with Moses. Moses could say, a prophet like unto me, God will raise up from among your brethren. Every soul that does not hear that prophet will die. What was it? We know in the New Testament, Jesus had to be also prophet. It continues here, David said, you meet me as a Philistine, in the name of a Philistine. You curse me in the name of the Philistine God. You bragged with what you will do. And you meet me with an armor and a spear. But I meet you in the name of the Lord God. And today I will take your head from your shoulders. And he did it, because greater was He that was inspiring David for that courage. We need courage and confidence, and toward God we can have unlimited trust. Over and again I said it. God is trustworthy. He doesn't lie. He doesn't deceive. He is true. Here Brother Branham says, referring to the sick, greater is He that's in you than that wheelchair. Greater than that stretcher. Greater than that cancer. Greater than your affliction. Greater is He than anything the devil could put on you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Yes, greater is He. Praise God. Fear must flee. Unbelief must flee where God's people walk in the name of the Lord. And when we hear such things from the Word of God, there comes faith and there comes courage. There even the weakest can get strong and trust the Lord, knowing it's not we, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He has taken care for everything. Now just briefly, some sentences. He that was in David was stronger than he who was in Goliath. He conquered everything. When he was here on earth, he conquered sin. He conquered sickness. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And now he lives in us as the conqueror. Amen. Now he lives in us as the conqueror. Hallelujah. Praise God. What shall we say to it? Yes, amen. We can only say, Lord, here we are. Live your life through us as the victor of Calvary. How often we emphasized it. There where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, those things must happen that were reported in the gospels that took place in the ministry of Jesus Christ. For this we have the gospels, to see what happened when Jesus evangelized. Those who were bound were set free. The sick were healed. The sinners were saved. The dead were raised. If you ask me today, do you really believe with all your heart in the full restoration of all that? What God promised through the mouth of the prophets? Then I must say yes and amen to it. Without fear and without shy. Not in me. If I could do it, this you can believe me, then I would have done it long time ago. I wouldn't have waited so long for me. But it is God who reserved everything for himself. How is it with us? Do we all believe as it is written that Jesus remains in heaven until the times of restitution of all things, as God foretold them through the mouth of all the prophets since the world began? As certain as the holy mouth of the Lord has spoken it, and as certain as God's word cannot be broken, so certain we count on it, and we will see it fulfilled. One day, the people will look at us, and provided they have heard of the restoration, we then can say to them, we are the fulfillment of the promise which God has given. One day, the word will have to become flesh in us. It must become divine reality, because it's written like this. John could say back then, I am the voice. He was that voice. It was not just a claim. It was reality. Christ was the promised Redeemer. The promises for these days must and will be fulfilled. Do you think it was easy for Brother Branham that he sometimes said, or he asked, do you believe that I am God's prophet? This was not easy, and yet he had to do it, so that the people know that they deal with God and with a ministry set by God, that they deal with fulfilled Bible prophecy, with promises that the Lord has given for our days. Here actually much more is written. Brother Branham says here, this Christ, this He that is in you, He is Christ. As John said, He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It is Christ. He is greater than all of the world, because he conquered the world and is greater than all those things, because He conquered it for us. And we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us, that He might come back and do His works through us, to prove to us that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We could read on. We believe that the Lord not only comforted His people, but He taught them that He takes care for us, and by grace He revealed Himself to us. We believe the promises which He has given to us for this time in His Word, and we will see them fulfilled. I don't know God in another way than as the faithful and true God. When He promised to Abraham, "After 400 years, I will deliver your descendants from the land of bondage with a strong hand." Did He do it? Amen. He did it. All promises of God are yes and amen. Mary believed when the promise was given to her. And we believe because the promise for this time was given to us. Although we don't feel anything, we know. After all, we read it yesterday, and we can read it today again. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Please, let us not forget it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why are we so firmly convinced? Why? Because God's word is firm. Firm forever. What God said, by this it remains. The steadfastness is not in us. It was laid into us by God Himself. It doesn't come with us. We wait and persevere in the promises, and we are convinced that God will fulfill them until the last one, until the end, unto the day when the Lord will return with a trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and with a shout, whatever these three things contain, when He will return to take His own home. All this will one day be fulfilled, Bible prophecy and reality. Also we, as the church, as part of the church, not we alone, but with us, the whole body of the Lord, we stretch forth to it. The word that we received for our days, and that was revealed to us, we will see it totally fulfilled. How many believe it, that it will happen? I believe it with all my heart and with all my soul. God cannot do otherwise but to stand to His word. Sooner the heavens fall down before His word deceives me, as the German song goes. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Do we believe that Christ took dwelling in our heart? Then it's the risen one, as we read it just now in the sermon of Brother Branham. Christ conquered, and as the conqueror, He took dwelling in you. In us does not dwell the cross-bearing, suffering Jesus on His way to Calvary, but the risen one, the one who reconciled us with God, He who said, I live and ye shall live also. He, as the victor, as the conqueror, he took dwelling in our heart to make us as the redeemed, victors and conquerors. Everything what he himself was and is, all this he wants to make out of us. He is king, he is priest. He made us kings and priests. He the firstborn, we the firstborn. He the Son of God, we the sons and daughters of God. He wants to finish his work in his church. And we believe that we may have part in it by his grace. It is such a hope in us for it. And it's a divine hope that does not lead to disappointment, but to the fulfillment. That's how it was with all who waited for the comfort of Israel. They have seen it. It was fulfilled. Yes, when the time was fulfilled, the same it is now. May the Almighty God have strengthened the faith of all of us by his word and revived us through his spirit, having given us new confidence so that we can walk forward by faith until we also come in this point from believing unto seeing. Amen.